Jesus is saying here in Mark 11:22, after the fig tree was cursed and Peter called his attention to the fact that it withered away, he answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God, some translations say, or the Greek actually says. Have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you believe that? If you believe it and don't doubt in your heart, but say it, you'll have what you say. Someone said, well, you're one of those faith churches. Before you get all huffy, this is in red. I didn't say it. I was on a trip one time, driving way across Arizona out in the desert, and I was driving at night. It was late, and I figured I'd try to stay awake by turning on, trying to see if I could find some Christian radio, and I found a station I thought was Christian until I heard this guy preach. See, Christians believe Jesus, right? But he was preaching that, you know, people say, Mark, he's the answer man. He had all the answers. And so he was saying, people say that you can have what you say. And he went on being all critical about that. He said, you know, you can't do that, and so forth and so on. I got mad and I said, I hit the dash. I said, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And I preached to him for a while, and then I went, click. But you got, there's more people mad about us saying this than just about anything else. But usually if you find something the devil doesn't like, you ought to camp on it for a while. Jesus said, if you believe and don't doubt, you'll have whatever you say. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Another, verse 23 is releasing your faith in your saying, or through saying, and verse 24 is releasing your faith in praying. And you can do it either way. But you can, because I want to be successful in this. Anybody want to learn to be more successful in this? I'm learning. I've come a long ways. I haven't arrived yet. There's things I'm still getting out of this. And one of the things the Lord's been dealing with me, in fact, it's been in my heart. You can tell by the books of the summer. One of the things that's been in my heart is walking in love. Over the last, been in my heart for, I would say, it's stirring for the last month and getting stronger and stronger. It's one of those things. Sometimes you get things in your heart for a day or so, a couple of weeks or something. But this just keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going and it keeps growing and growing. I'm feeding on it, studying on it, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So I'm going to start preaching on it some. Because this verse, to succeed in faith, you have to keep reading past verse 24. Verse 24, and I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them, and. So he's not done talking yet about faith. When you stand praying, so he's still talking about praying that prayer of faith. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have, what's that word? Ought against any. Ought means anything. Against any. Anything against any. Big, little, medium size, small, anything. Well, it's just a little thing. Hey, anything. Anything. Amen. That includes people cutting you off in traffic. You just got to not let those things inside. If you have aught against any, when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, anything against anybody, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So really to be successful in walking by faith, you're going to have to, and I'm going to have to learn to walk in love, or here he's talking about forgiveness, and it is the love walk that makes us forgive. Remember, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And then he goes on and says, be imitators of God as dear children. and walk in love. That's Ephesians chapter 4, the last couple of verses, and chapter 5, the first verse or two there. And so forgiveness, walking in love includes forgiveness. It includes not holding unforgiveness, not holding ill will, animosity, any offense, any bitterness, anything against anybody. Amen. And we can do that because God didn't ask us to do something we couldn't do. When he says do this, we can do it. One of the reasons we can do it is because whenever it says, you know, Romans 5:5, this love has already been furnished to us. It's shed abroad in our hearts. When we got born again, God is love, and we received eternal life, which is the nature of God. And we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's a real quick Bible study, just telling you, you got the God kind of love on the inside of you. And so it's very interesting. You can look up this word doubt in verse 23. And it's a full word, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now, the word doubt is the Greek word for obstacle. In other words, shall not have an obstacle in his heart. Well, somebody said, what's the obstacle? Well, I think you can tell pretty easily, verse 25 is the obstacle. All right. Amen. When you and I refuse to forgive, it's an obstacle to our faith. Not because God's up there in heaven saying, I'm mad, I'm not going to give you something because you haven't forgiven. It's not on the sending end. The obstacle's not on the sending end. The obstacle's inside of us. You remember 1 Peter 3, verse number 7. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. Lest your prayer. God didn't hinder the prayers. We hindered it. So the obstacle's on this end. Let's look at this a little bit tonight. Could you stand to examine your love walk? Because Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, if I'm praying about something and not getting results, he said, the first place I look at is my love walk. And boy, that slides easily off the tongue, but practicing it's a whole nother deal. I have sometimes daily, sometimes hourly opportunities, depending on who I'm around. Amen. And don't think I'm mad at those people I'm referring to, because boy, they helped me grow so much spiritually. I appreciate them more than anybody. Anybody got anybody like that in your life? Don't look sideways. Don't look. Amen. So, but we've got opportunities to hold offenses. You know, to get bitter, to get upset, to carry hurts around, talk about them, talk about the hurts, talk about the people, talk about what they did. And before you know it, things that were just working like a well-oiled machine in our life just isn't working like it used to. Something got in, an obstacle to our faith, an obstacle to our prayers. Amen. What he's saying here, because the Bible said love never fails. Remember that verse? 1 Corinthians 13, I don't have the actual reference. Love never fails. Verse 7 maybe, I'd have to look it up, somewhere right in around there. Love never fails. Well, what on earth does that mean, love never fails? I think it could be a lot of different things. But let's look at it in the context of this verse. Love never fails means we never fail to receive from God what we're asking and praying about. You know what I'm talking about? If we'll walk in love. I said if we'll walk in love. You know, people are focused on the do's and don'ts and this and that and things that really don't matter when it comes to faith. You know, church attendance. The Bible teaches going to church, you understand. But listen, just because you got a perfect, you know, you got a gold star because you haven't missed a Sunday school all year, it's not going to. God's not counting, you know. I mean, it's really a matter of the heart. Your heart can be here. I was thinking about somebody the other day. They said they had to be out for somebody's wedding or something, or I don't remember what it was. I said, my goodness, don't feel bad about it, because they felt bad about it. I said, you probably have more gold stars for your attendance. Amen. Well, see, there's just things that don't matter as big like some people think. I love to be in church. Don't misunderstand me. I go because I want to. But right on the other hand, there's a lot of things that people focus on that don't really matter. This is something that really matters. I said this is something that really matters. And so we ought to make this something we focus on. You know, Pastor Nancy's book's called Love, the Great Quest. I got to get a copy, by the way. Where's Michelle? Get me a copy of that. I keep forgetting to ask, take that home. But I haven't read it yet. But I know that's I think it's the Amplified version there. Make love your, remember, pursue love. But one translation says, make it your great quest. How many of us can say that's what we're focused on day in and day out, walking in love? I don't know if any of us can say that. Yeah, the Bible said, make that our great quest. Brother Hagin said he watches over his love walk. Well, he's in heaven now. I'm sure he's not having as much trouble with it. But he would watch over his love walk. You know, it's easy to walk in love with Jesus, you know. But he would focus on his watch over his love walk more than he'd watch over his faith life. Now, why would somebody say that? I've watched these men that have walked with God all their life, and the more they mature, the more they talk about walking in love. I've noticed that pattern. I've noticed that pattern. I've heard Brother Copeland more and more. He's getting more mature, and he's talking more and more about walking in love. More and more. I noticed. Because why? Because they've learned a few things. Amen. Why would somebody say something like that? Because they don't want to open any door to their faith not working. Isn't that right? And they've learned this is a big deal. It's a major issue. And so many people, what he's telling us here, many people would be doing a lot better in faith if they were watching over this more. Wouldn't let these little things come off their tongue. Go away and forget about it. Don't think anything of it. You know, we live in a, if you turn on the news, they're always fighting. I mean, they act like a bunch of kids. Politicians. Just fighting, criticizing one. Can't say a good thing about each other. Always putting each other down. In fact, that's the way you win elections. You got to put the other guy down. There's not much more ungodly than that. And we got to watch it because that'll get into us. I know the Lord's dealt with me about that. Say amen. Amen. I'm not saying don't tell the truth. You got to tell the truth. But right on the other hand, we got to guard what comes off of our tongue. First Peter right after says there, you know, husbands, you know, make sure your prayers aren't hindered by the way you treat your wife. He says right after that, he said that if we want to live, have a good life, and see, many days, we got to refrain this tongue. We got to watch this over this tongue. The quickest way to get out of love is with your tongue.
That's right.
Bible said that's the most unruly member. Anybody hit anybody with your fist in the last year? Oh, anybody talked about somebody critically in the last year? Oh, your tongue's more unruly than your fist? I guess the Bible's true. What are you looking at me like that for? Has everybody got convicted? Is that what happened? Amen. I preach right through my convictions and act like they're not there, but I go home and say, oh, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want anything hindering my faith. You want anything hindering your faith? Then we're going to have to watch over this area of our love walk. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Christians who say they can't forgive somebody who did them wrong, they're lying about it. I just can't forgive them. They treated me so bad, I just can't forgive. No, you can forgive. You know why they say that? Because they don't feel any love for the person that did that. But newsflash tonight, love's not a feeling. I'm talking about this kind of love. This kind of love. There's some other kinds of love. They're all gushy-gushy, but, you know, young people, they say they fell in love. They wouldn't know what love was. Came up, slapped them across the head. Said, hi, I'm love. Spell me again. L-O-V-E. No, that's just emotions. That's just infatuation. That's just flesh. And that's why they go to the divorce court eventually and they say, irreconcilable differences. A lot of those things aren't irreconcilable. They're just flesh. People walk in fleshy feelings. They don't have any feelings because wrong words have been spoken or something. Wrong actions have been happening, and nobody's repenting and nobody's forgiven. Can you say amen? Well, I just can't forgive them. No, you don't have any feelings. That's why you say that. But feelings are of the flesh. Amen. A lot of times people walk in more in the flesh than they realize. Divine love's not a feeling. Say that out loud. Divine love is not a feeling. Amen. Did the Bible say, for God so loved the world that he had a good feeling for us? No, you don't have good feelings for people that treat you wrong. Well, I'll walk in love with them as if they'll walk in love with me. Well, you might be waiting a long time. Besides, that's not our kind of love. Bible said, Jesus in John 13, go to John 13, 34. John 13, 34. Somebody said, I know all this. You know I do too, but I'm still getting tremendously fed off of it. It's just helping me here recently. John 13, verse number 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. All right, I'll do it. If they treat me good, I'll treat them. Keep on reading. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did he love us? Bible said God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. People sinning against God, and God sent Jesus to die for. He's loving us when we didn't love him. We were actually at enmity against him. Our actions, our lifestyle, our way we treated others, our sinfulness and so forth, all that was enmity against God. And he loved us, commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. And that's how he loved us. So how are we supposed to love each other? Verse 34, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In other words, we don't wait. Somebody said, well, it depends on how they treat me. This kind of love doesn't wait for how somebody else treats you. Now listen, there's a place for protecting yourself, getting away from some people. You don't have to be a doormat. You know, walking in love doesn't mean you're stupid or you're weak. You know what I mean? It just, there's people you can get away from. You know, you ladies, if somebody's beating you, get away. Get out of there. Amen. You gotta protect yourself. But I'm not talking about that. That's a whole other side. I'm talking about just what you do. The way they treat you is their business. The way you treat them is your business. Amen. Amen. So don't lie about it. Well, I just can't. I can't forgive them. Amen. Don't say you can't walk in love towards somebody. To say that's to say you don't have that kind of love. Well, somebody said, I don't. No, not in your flesh. See, if you're talking out of your flesh, you don't. The flesh has nothing. There's people that my flesh has nothing for them but a punch in the nose. Anybody got anybody like that? Anybody know anybody like that? My flesh doesn't have any feelings of love toward them. But see, this love's not shed abroad in our flesh, is it? It's shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So don't lie and say you can't. Just fess up and say you won't. Just say, I'm going to stay in the flesh. I'm going to walk by my feelings. Amen. All right, Pastor, I won't. Amen. Well, we got some things to tell you then. All right. Anybody still happy you came? Yes. First of all, this is not verse 34 here, John 13, 34. This is not a suggestion. A new commandment I give unto you. Is that a suggestion? No. So it's not a suggestion or a recommendation. It's a commandment. Amen. Well, I just don't want to do it, but it's not a suggestion. He didn't say if you want to. Amen. You ever read the Bible? The Bible said, owe no man anything but to love him. But to love him. Amen. You and I owe that to one another. But and I'm convinced that's what he's talking about. I owe you love, you owe me love. And that's because remember what he did for us. Remember the parable in Matthew 18, the guy that forgave was forgiven a lot and then he went out and wouldn't forgive. I mean, that's the point here. I owe you love because of what he did for me. I owe it to you. But I think there's even a revelation here that we haven't thought about. There's sometimes I read that verse and it comes to me this way. You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, owe that world out there that we love one another. What do you mean by it? I owe that man. Well, I owe that man that I love him too. But you and I, as the body of Christ, owe that man out there that we love one another. What do I mean? So they'll see Jesus. Because otherwise they're going to say, I don't want anything to do. I mean, what's the use of me being a Christian? I mean, look, they fight and fuss and cuss one another just like we do. We owe them to show that to them. Hallelujah. He said, they'll know who you're my people by the love you have one toward another. That's how they're going to know. I mean, we ought to be different. And they ought to see the difference. All that goes on out there fussing and fighting ought not be in here. We owe them out there that you and I love one another. Can you see that like I see that? I owe every man love. I owe you love directly. I owe everybody love directly. But yet, right on the other hand, you and I owe that man out there that we walk in love with one another so they can see Christ. And want him. We're called the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It makes people thirsty. That's one thing it does. Preserves another thing it does. But I just don't want to be around people that are fussing all the time. Anybody like me? Well, so it's not a suggestion. I'm answering that. I just don't want to. Well, number one, it's not a suggestion. Secondly, it's your flesh that doesn't want to forgive. Somebody say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, I got some. Amen. It's your flesh that doesn't want to forgive. Your spirit does, but you're talking out of your flesh. Learn to stop talking the feelings of your flesh. Well, you just make me not even want to stay here. I just don't want to be in this marriage anymore. Honey, you're already doomed. Why is it getting quiet in here? You got to guard your tongue. You got to guard what you say. Pastor Debbie and I made a commitment way back. I think I might even have said this before we got married. That word divorce, that word all that, that'll never come out of our mouth. What's going to come out of our mouth? Love, forgiveness. Amen. Kind words. We don't kill our love for each other with hard words. Amen. Now, sometimes our flesh wants to. You too, Pastor? Yeah, I got flesh. Come up and hit me and see what I feel like. I mean, it's a matter of just you and I not living there. It's not that something's wrong with us because we have flesh and it still has carnal feelings. And wants to get even or, you know, hold grudges or unforgiveness. It's not that we don't have that. It's that we don't live there. You live there, the devil's going to get a ring in your nose. And he's going to pull you around from one problem to the other. You just can't let that thing pull you around like that. Because it'll eat your lunch. It'll kill your fellowship with God. It'll kill your faith life. It'll kill your conscience. It'll kill your soundness of mind. You'll be troubled. That'll open the door to tormentors. It'll kill your health. It'll kill your prosperity. It just starts killing, stealing, and destroying from every area. It'll kill good relationships, divine connections, and so many other things. Amen. Well, I still don't want to. All right, number one and two. Now number three. It'll cause you to fail spiritually. Including fail to receive from God. So that verse in 1 Corinthians 13:8, I found the reference here. It says, love never fails. One thing that means is when you and I walk in this God kind of love, and love forgives, when we do that, we'll never fail to receive what we need in life. Amen. I said, we'll never fail. I don't know about you. That's appealing to me. That's this prayer life that gets everything I ask. That's walking beyond divine healing and getting over into divine health. What's divine health? Not even getting sick. Amen. I thank God for healing. If I need it, I lay hold of it. But there's something better than that. Remember, first it says in Exodus 15, he said, you keep my commandments and my statutes, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Sickness won't even be in the midst of us. Well, bring that through the cross. What's the New Testament commandment? We just read it, John 13:34. New commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Remember Romans 13, it says, there down verse, what is it, 8, 9, 10, down and through there somewhere. It talks about if we walk in love, we'll not break any of the Ten Commandments. And he said, love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love, love. Somebody said, we need to keep the Ten Commandments. If you walk in love, you won't need to think about not killing somebody. You won't need to think about not stealing from somebody or committing adultery with their wife or something like that. All those Ten Commandments, walking in love will keep us from doing any of those, you know, breaking any of those commandments. Hallelujah. That's really the MRI of our fellowship with God. Our love walk. It's the MRI of our fellowship with God. You know what an MRI does? It shows things that you can't see. I don't see your prayer life or your time with Him, but I can see how you treat people. Find out how good your fellowship is. Or I can see your love walk is the MRI of what your attention is on. Somebody does you wrong and you get all worked up and unforgiving and speaking words of anger and ill will. And you know what I'm talking about? I just got an MRI. I just took a picture of what your attention is on. Amen. Anybody can tell what your attention's on? Well, I mean, they did me wrong. Remember Jesus on the cross? You remember Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, and it was a type of Jesus on the cross. Listen, whenever those snakes got in there in the Old Testament, and God told Moses to put that serpent on the pole, that was the type of looking at Jesus on the cross. Amen. And so whenever they looked, they lived. And let me tell you something. If a snake has bitten one of your relationships, don't look at what they did. Look at Jesus on the cross. What do I mean? Look at divine love. I said, look at divine love. Look at Him who, while I was yet a sinner, died for me. He poured out His life's blood so I could be reconciled to God. And for God so loved the world that He did that. That was love on the cross. That was love on the cross. And whenever we look at Him on the cross, how He loved us, whenever we weren't being lovely towards Him, rather than look on the person that did us wrong, then we'll say, okay, I see Him walking in love. I can do that. And we'll get the strength to not get even. And keep that snake from biting us. Hallelujah. So if we get our attention on what they did, yeah, we'll get all worked up. It'll make us red behind the ears, hot. Our ears will get hot. Boy, you just get to thinking about it. And you get all worked up. Anybody been there? Yeah. We can tell you what your attention's on when you're all worked up about it. Yeah. Mature people, the Bible says love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Oh, Jesus, we ought to all crawl under the pews. Takes no account. What's takes no account? Love does. Love takes no account. But what does it mean to take no account? It doesn't even mark it down that it happened. And doesn't say, strike one.
Right.
I dare you to do that again. I dare. It doesn't even take account. So, listen, husbands and wives. You know what that does to you know, you keep doing that over and over. You know what that does to that? Yep. Wipes it away. Right now, it's only the first time it happened.
That's right.
What? Jesus. How many of you know we ought to study on walking in love for a while?
Yeah.
If it doesn't take account, then it doesn't count.
Right.
One, two. That's the seventh time you've did that. I've been counting. Oh, that's lovely, isn't it, that you've been counting? That's not lovely. That's not the... Is God up in heaven going, one, two, and we repent? He goes, "Man, do it again. Three." No. Love forgives, and one thing that love, that forgiveness does is it forgets. It might not forget historically, but the emotional upheaval and ill will and all of that, it just lets all that go. Praise the Lord. Woo, my. Well, I can't do that. Well, then you can't walk in faith. You can't walk in health. Amen. Well, everybody still glad you came? Faith, Galatians 5:6, faith works by love. We're talking about how love or how faith works. How faith works. This is how receiving from God works. There is so much more to receiving from God than faith and confession. There's a whole lot more to it. And if we only hear confession and we only hear, you know, believing we receive and so forth, we'll be woefully short. Our faith really won't be working the way it should. I'm talking about receiving from God. Amen? So this is how receiving from God works. And so this is how faith works, which receives from God. And so how does the God kind of love work, which makes faith work? It works by forgiveness. Works by forgiving. Amen? How many of you know unbelief won't work? Wavering and doubting won't work. Isn't that right? We're not to think anybody, any among us that's wavering and doubting will receive anything from the Lord, the Bible says. But on the other hand, unforgiveness won't work either because it keeps our faith from working too. Amen. So that means if we're focused like a laser on our faith life, maybe we ought to switch and start focusing like a laser on our love walk. I get convicted. I just start meditating on this a bit, and I'm like, whew, man. It's ugly, but it's me. Amen. Don't get quiet. I think maybe you too. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor I'm getting something out of this. Amen. Now, fourth, before you say your flesh doesn't feel like walking in love and I just can't forgive them, you have to know the heartache that's connected to that, to going that route. And if you knew the heartache, you really wouldn't be so quick to do that. You're going to get a want to the hard way. You know what I mean? I just don't want to. Just feels too good. How many of you know the flesh likes to just hold a grudge for a while? Just hold a grudge. Let me tell you something I've learned. When I'm quick, or let me put it on the other side. When I'm slow to repent and slow to forgive, it's an indication of a hardened heart. It's an indication of a hardening of my heart to some degree or another. The Bible says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Notice, tenderhearted. Forgiving. What does tenderheartedness do? Forgives. Well, that would be, if that's true, the opposite's true. It's hard-heartedness that takes a long time to forgive. And a hard heart is not a heart that receives. Amen. Don't raise your hand, but is there anyone here? I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand. Just examine yourself. It's a long time before you forgive. Or a long time before you say you're sorry. Well, I don't have to say I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah. Yeah, you do. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know why it's so heavy in here. There's like a dark cloud moving in over the congregation, but we're going to keep on preaching. Well, that's just the Irish in me. You know, I just know that's the flesh. Don't make excuses for, you know, your irresponsibility for walking in love. Irish flesh, who cares what kind of flesh? Flesh is flesh. Well, I just grew up in a hot family. I mean, we just said what we say. We just real. I know, real carnal. Listen, don't examine yourself in the light of the way you were raised. Examine yourself in the light of the Word. Well, we just grew up. We gave people peace of our mind. I know, that's why you don't have much anymore. Be quick. Does the Bible say be quick to speak and slow to hear? No, it says be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Slow, slow. Think about it before you say it. How many weeks will it take to get over this for me to just let this fly here right now? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I can tell we're going to have to preach on this some more. Thank God for the Word. Praise God for the Word. Amen. It's hard-heartedness. I said it's hard-heartedness. Now, there are people that come and, you know, long time later, they'll say, would you please forgive me? I'll say, you know, whenever you did it, I forgave you. I don't want anything on the inside of me. You know, I mean, I already did that a long time ago. But see, it is good, though, for their sake, that they go make that right. Amen. Because how many of you want to keep a clear conscience? I was in a staff meeting about a month ago, maybe, I guess. I'd have to think about it, maybe a month, a little more. And we were dealing with some things, and a certain situation came up about a certain issue, about some things, not anybody in the staff, but just some other things. And I just started, I don't know what it was, it was the flesh, I know it was the flesh, but some burr under my collar or something. I started talking about somebody and criticizing them. Went on, finished the staff meeting, went home, went to bed, and I'm telling you what, all kinds of stuff started happening. Some things very dangerous. One of them was they were redigging the gas line out because they had to change. We had to change. Well, we were digging a downspout drain for our house, and they hit that gas line. Dangerous. I mean, stuff like that started happening real quick. I got a back pain so bad I could barely stand up within hours of that letting it fly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Someone said, well, bless God, I can get away with that. Yeah, you're not as far along spiritually. You get to developing spiritually and starting influencing other people and being an example. And you're held to a high standard. Boy, I got on the phone. It was late. It was, I don't know, 8:30, something like that. Everybody in that staff meeting, I got on the phone. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Amen. Went to bed, woke up, all the pain's gone. See, it's not just, I believe, I receive. No, not when your conscience is bothering you. There is no receiving. The devil has a right to attack you. You and I only have authority if we're walking on God's territory. We don't have authority when we're over here on the devil's territory. And unforgiveness and letting things fly out of our mouth is the devil's territory. And he has the right to attack us. You can do all the binding you want, and it won't work. The Bible said, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. It didn't say resist the devil. It said submit yourself to God. And walking in love is one thing we do to submit ourselves to God. Amen. And I've been watching over my love walk more, and I've been discovering more and more. As I watch over this, I've been discovering this right here is too loose. Point to your neighbor. No, don't point to your neighbor. Point to your tongue and say, I'm going to start watching over this right here. I'm going to start watching over what I say. See, we get out of love with our tongue much quicker than we get out of love any other way. Amen. Well, you just don't know how they treated me. Well, you might not know how they treated me. It's not a matter of how they treat us. It's how we are. What are we going to do about it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Shout somebody. Somebody say it's all tight, but it's right. You and I might not shout tonight, but we'll shout later if we'll practice this. Praise God. No, before you get so huffy and say, well, I just don't want to walk in love. Flesh feels too good. I like holding these grudges. Going that route, there's a lot of heartache. And you're going to get a want to the hard way. You can do it the easy way. But you can get it the hard way, too. I've met people just stubborn as a Missouri mule. They're just fleshy. They just want to hold those grudges. The flesh likes that. Anybody found that out? The flesh likes that. Amen. Well, they're going to get a want to one way or another. I didn't say God will send the heartache. But see, what that is that's on the devil's territory. I said that's on the devil's territory. James 3:16, where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Somebody said, well, why is that the devil's territory? Because that's disobedience to the commandment. It's not a suggestion in the New Testament. It's a commandment. Say commandment. It's not an option. Not a feeling. Not we do it if we feel like it. It's not a recommendation. A suggestion. It's a commandment. And it is the New Testament commandment. Say it is the New Testament commandment. To walk in love. To forgive. To not hold grudges. Amen. See, these are the Christian sins. They're on the inside. They're in people's hearts. They're not on the outside where people can see them. You know what I'm talking about? But it's disobedience to the Word of God. And so it'll bring a lot of trouble into our lives. We're getting on Satan's territory and he has the right to attack us. But in situations like that where he's got an open door and people are being attacked, a lot of people, I'm talking about sane people, they develop a want to. Amen. Nobody that's in the right mind wants to keep the door open to the devil. We haven't preached like this for a while, but it's needed. Amen. Where envying and strife is envying and strife. That's all the, you know, getting outside of the love walk. Fussing with one another, holding grudges, you know, railing for railing. He said there's confusion. That means spiritual darkness. I mean, listening to the Holy Ghost in times like that is tough. Not because God's not speaking, but because we're in darkness. There's confusion. Number two, every evil work. Does that Bible verse mean what it says? That means everything he has. Amen. Everything that we've been redeemed from. Well, I'm redeemed. He won't be able to get me. Well, this verse says he will if we open the door. No, if we keep the door closed, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself and that wicked one touches him not. That's our responsibility. That's not God's responsibility. That's us responsible to keep ourselves. And the context is love. You look at the whole context, 1 John 5:18. It's walking in love. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself and that wicked one touches him not. Remember, neither give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. Now they get placed. The context is getting out of love. Giving place to the devil. So are we still in the right? Are we still all on one page here? It's a big deal. Amen. What's the big deal? It opens the door to the devil. And everything he has that we have been redeemed from, he now has the right to attack us with. because we got out of love. Listen, Satan comes packing with every evil work. And that means some people are having financial problems, not because they haven't given in an offering or sown seed. It's because of strife in their home. I know what I'm talking about. Back there in those early years of marriage, and we were still young, spiritually whippersnappers, didn't realize how important this was. We had a lot of financial trouble. That's part of it. That's just par for the course. Fussing. I remember one time the Lord said to me, he said, because I thought Pastor David was spending too much money. I don't know why anybody would ever think that. But I thought she was. And I was fussing with her about it. And I was getting nowhere. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, just be quiet. He said, just stop talking to her about it. And then he said, at least your faith will work. He said, this way, yeah, she spends that money and you're not going to have the faith to get it in. Y'all still there? Now, she had problems with me spending money sometimes too, so don't think I'm just poo-pooing her. But we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Why am I standing over here? I don't know. Oh, these guys, I like watching them. They're sweet on one another. Hallelujah. Anybody still here? Is everybody going home? I mean, you're sitting here, but you already turned the lights off and went home. Hello. He said, just stop fussing about it. At least your faith will work. That's what I needed. I needed faith right then. I needed the faith for some money. That's what I needed. He said, let me deal with her. I just took my hands off. And I tell you, it's working. Not my business. She has it in her heart to go buy something. Hello. Maybe I'll go over here. There's a lot of single ladies over here. There'll be no conviction over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At least your faith will work. I'm just camping there because I can tell that's sinking in. Praise the Lord. Me and somebody were talking the other day. We've decided that between their house and our house, the UPS guys are keeping a job. You know, they Amazon.com and all these places. You know what I'm talking about? I'm looking straight up. I'm not indicating who's buying or who's doing what. Hallelujah. You know, my heart, the Bible said, a godly woman, and this is true both ways, but the Bible said a godly woman, the husband's heart, her husband's heart safely trusts in her. So I decided to let her follow the Holy Ghost without fussing. Now, if we need to talk about something, we talk about it without fussing. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you need to talk about things. Let each other know where everything is. But listen, if we won't fuss about it, and our faith is working, and she's following the Spirit, I'm following the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Then our faith is going to work. Our faith is going to work. Even when it looks like, man, we're spending more than we should this month. It's been working for us. It's been amazing how it's been working for us. When we stop the fussing, who am I helping? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When we stopped the fuss and trusted one another to follow the Spirit. See, now, there are people that haven't got weaned off the flesh. They're just buying everything their flesh wants. But see, we were following our spirits on things. And we've learned to trust one another to follow the Spirit. And when we started learning to do that and not fussing, we haven't had any trouble since. And we don't have any credit card balance. We pay it off every month. Sometimes twice a month. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Well, just a little pastoral advice. Yeah, but you don't know how my wife spends. Well, maybe you don't know how my wife spends. Can you see me? Amen. Maybe you don't know how I spend. It's working for us. Amen. Got everything paid off except the house. We're just blessed, just doing good. Praise God. Everybody still loves Pastor? My wife didn't say amen. You still love me? All right. Praise the Lord. Where envying and strife is. Excuse me. Love you. There's confusion in every evil work. Would that include poverty? Huh? Every evil work, that would include poverty? Financial problems? So if we continue to embrace, you know, unforgivenesses and hurts and offenses and so forth, there'll be no freedom anywhere in our lives. Every evil work means every area of life, everything the devil's got. There'll be no freedom anywhere in our lives. I want freedom in my life. Well, you don't know how they hurt me. Look, it's hurting you more than it's hurting them to hold that grudge. And you got to know it. You got to know it's hurting your faith. Come on. When the door is open, he can get in. When the door is open to the devil, he can get in. And anything he wants to bring in with him, he'll bring it in with him. That's what that means. Every evil work. You don't get to say what he brings in that condition. And I'll guarantee you one thing, whatever he brings in, there will be one thing attached to it. In every case, heartache. It'll be heartache. Can you say amen? There is a place, according to 1 John 5:18, there's a place where Satan can't touch us. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Well, where is that place? I would say the first place to look is our love walk. Check up on your love walk. That's the New Testament commandment. And listen, that's our responsibility. Walking in love is our responsibility. Nobody else is going to walk in love for us. God's not going to make us do it. Amen. That's our responsibility. Say, I got a responsibility. Well, that's just the Irish in me. No, that's you making excuses for not taking responsibility. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:30 talks about 29, 30 down through there. If we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. And so what he's talking about, judging ourselves in the light of the love walk, keeps us off the devil's territory where he has access to us. And you know what he's saying is, from that passage, he also says, this for this cause, many are weak and sickly. If you look at the whole context, not walking in love. One of them not walking in love. For this cause. So there's a cause for these things just going on and on and on in people's lives. Can you see what I'm talking about? And guess what? If there's a cause for these things going on and on, then someone else's prayers, in other words, let's say it this way, until that cause is removed, no amount of someone else's prayers are going to do for you what only removing the cause will do. Can you say amen? If there's a cause, that cause will have to be dealt with before victory will come. And listen, if you have hindered your prayers, I can't hinder them with my prayers. See, this is pastoral preaching. Amen. This is not evangelistic preaching. There's a place for evangelistic preaching, but this is pastoral preaching. This is for the ones that get in the healing line over and over and over again and never get anything. Amen. This is what I'm talking about. Can you still see what we're saying here? And so, I can't underhinder your prayers. If you've hindered them, only you can make that change. So if we understand these things, we'll watch over our love walk even more than our faith walk. Amen. So this walking in love, which includes, of course, the forgiveness and so forth, is one area of our spiritual life we're going to have to watch over if we're going to live days of heaven on earth. That's 1 Peter 3. And if we're going to walk in God's best, we're going to have to watch this area. Watchfulness is the constant price of victory. It's the price of constant victory. Amen. How many of you know your enemy is watching for a way in? He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He's bent on our destruction. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's looking for a way in. He's observing us, the Bible says. And so whenever he finds a way in, it's because we gave it to him. Now, listen, when a wrong has been done in your life, you can't go through this life without a wrong being done. That's, Jesus said that's unavoidable. But how you respond to it is not unavoidable. You can decide how you're going to respond. Whenever you and my attention is on the wrong done, we just get worse and worse. It's just a downward spiral. Amen? 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 And it gives place to the devil. And you can't give place to the devil and resist him at the same time. Some people want to live all carnal and so forth and have us pray for them. I've seen it too many times. It just doesn't work. Then they want to go out and live fleshy again. Just let everything fly off their tongue that they feel like. Just say it. Just doesn't work that way. Tell your neighbor, well, you found that out, haven't you? Some people don't plan on changing anything. Amen. Y'all still with me? I'm almost done. The answer to a lot of these things that are wrong so many times in so many lives is usually not prayer. This stuff that goes on in people's lives, the answer is usually not prayer. Because if they would, to be honest with you, close the door to the devil, the prayer wouldn't even be necessary. The problem is there's an open door to the devil. The devil is not all that. He can't do anything unless we allow him. We got to realize that. He's been defeated. He's not able to just bulldoze into our life as believers and just do anything he wants. Amen. But a lot of these things are, we give him place. We give him an opportunity. We get to open a door to him. You understand what I'm talking about? Judicially, we've already been healed. The healing covenant is ours. Healing has been provided. God is the same. He hasn't changed. The covenant hasn't changed. Healing is the same. It hasn't changed. It's still for us today. It's already been provided. But some people are not in position to receive it. How many of you know I'm not just talking about faith? I'm talking about walking in love and forgiving people. I wouldn't make this a doctrine because I think you got to be careful about things like this. But right on the other hand, I'll say I've never seen anybody that I've ministered to that has died of cancer that didn't have unforgiveness in their heart. I'm just talking about my experience. I didn't say the Bible said. You understand? I just know it's something to watch out for. Amen. And I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about just unwilling to forgive. And there's more to that, and we have time to get into. But will you give me a second? I got to wrap this up. All right, praise the Lord. Woo! So this is where having a pastor really comes in and really starts making sense. Going to church regularly and hearing the word, getting washed with the water of the word, because the pastor teaches us the word, and that'll put us in position to receive from God. Because hearing the word enables us to align ourselves. Hear what God expects. Align ourselves with it. Make adjustments so that we can hear and go and do. Close the door to the devil. Take, for example, hearing about forgiveness. Going and closing that door. Can you say amen? Amen. One of my supplies into the body of Christ is my healing ministry. Jesus said August 15th, 1990, I've given to you a ministry of healing. We've seen many healed. But my teaching gift's part of that. Are you still there? In fact, it came before God gave me the healing ministry. It was 1986 God gave me a teaching gift. I know the day it came into my spirit. It was 1990 that he gave me a healing ministry. I know that very day. I remember that day. It was a major thing. But the teaching gift is a part of the healing ministry. Because 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 talks about it, teaching people they can make adjustments and close the door to the devil. Then Matthew 13:15 talks about this people's hearts waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, at the same time see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. There's more to healing than just prayer lines, laying on of hands, healing anointings, and so forth and so on. I'm not poo-pooing any of that. I'm just simply saying that we have to sit under the Word. In Luke 6, it says it. Luke 5, it says it. They came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. I said they came to hear and to be healed. Psalm 107:20 says He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You look at the context. Them is fools who because of their sins and iniquities were afflicted. Amen. He sent His Word and healed them. Why? Because they heard the Word, walked in the light of it, made the adjustment, got out of foolishness, got out of iniquity, and the power of God flowed in. Isaiah 58 says, your light will break forth as the morning, and your health will spring forth speedily. Listen, there's more to healing than just laying on a hand. There's light that has to come. Make the adjustment. See, I'm going real quick through all these verses, but you can see it over and over and over and over in the Bible. There's more to healing than just laying on of hands. Hallelujah. Thank God. We're learning. And this is what the pastoral ministry is all about, is bringing people, as they sit under the Word, bringing them into the knowledge of how to close those doors to the devil. See, you can have a door open to the devil and be ignorant about it. I'm not saying we should all be walk around scared. We might have a door open to the devil, but I'm just simply saying, once you sit under the Word, it brings to light things, and you realize, oh, whoa, I see it, I see it, I see it. I fly off the handle every time. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm seeing now that's got the door open to the devil, so I'm going to stop that. Make adjustments. Can you make adjustments? Hallelujah. A lot of times there's something that precedes healing. Amen. Hearing and making the adjustments. Hearing the Word and making those adjustments, oftentimes that precedes healing. I could tell you testimonies till 10 o'clock or way past 10 o'clock about people that have done this. Amen? It's just not worth holding on to these things and just saying, well, I just don't feel like it. Do you realize people say, make excuses for things like that? That's just their choice. That's their unwillingness to be a doer of the Word. That's their flesh. But you and I have got to walk above the flesh. Amen?